I would like to try something a little bit different. I would like to read you one of my favorite books. It's called The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making by Catherine M. Valente. It is a very good book. It's one that I actually read every year around the fall time. Generally, as the weather starts to change and it starts to get colder, I notice myself getting more depressed. Who doesn't? I mean, I don't know, but this book is a children's book, and it always helps me feel a lot more lighthearted. It's just a nostalgic book to come back to, and there's always new lessons to learn, and it's just so cute. A little bit of preface. The story is about a girl named September who falls into fairyland, and she meets a lot of very interesting creatures and goes on an adventure. And in this chapter, I started in chapter 5 because it's my favorite chapter and I just wanted to do it. In this chapter, she is trying to find the city of Pandemonium, and apparently before she can enter Pandemonium, she has to go through this house. The house without warning. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this. Hopefully it helps you sleep or just chill or you do whatever. I'm happy to read to you. Enjoy. Lai pulled at September's jacket and she wriggled out of it. But when the golem tugged at her orange dress as well, September quailed. What's wrong? I don't think I'd like to be naked in front of strangers. Lai thought for a moment. My mistress used to say that you could never really be naked unless you wanted to be. She said, even if you've taken off every stitch of clothing, you still have your secrets, your history, your true name. It's quite difficult to be really naked. You have to work hard at it. Just getting into a bath isn't being naked, not really. It's just showing skin. And foxes and bears have skin too, so I shouldn't be ashamed if they're not. Did Mallow tell you her true name? September asked. Lai nodded slowly. But I won't tell you. It's a secret. She told me and then cut her finger and mine, and blood came out of her and liquid soap came out of me. And they mingled and turned golden, and she kissed the place where I'd been wounded, and told me her name. And not to tell. Not ever. So I won't. She already knew mine. Soap Golem pointed shyly to the word written on her forehead. The green wind told me not to tell anyone my true name. But I don't know of any name truer than September. And if I didn't tell anyone that was my name, what would they call me? It cannot be your true name, or you would be in awful trouble telling everyone like that. If you know someone's name, you can command them like a doll. Lai stopped, uncomfortably, as though the subject caused her pain. It's very unpleasant. Can't you call Mallow back then, if you know her name? Lai sobbed a little, a terribly awkward noise at the back of her throat, like snapping a bar of soap in half. I've tried, I've called and called and she won't come, so she must be dead. And I don't know what else to do except keep the baths full. September took a step back from the force of the golem's grief. She slowly pulled off her orange dress, which, to tell the truth, had become rather filthy, and her precious remaining shoe. In the cooling evening, she stood naked before the many-colored golem, uncomplaining. The baths smell very nice, she whispered. She only wanted the golem to stop being sad. A breeze came sighing along the courtyard and picked up her clothes and her shoe, shaking them and soaking them in the fountain water to get the seawater and beach grime out. The green smoking jacket sputtered and wrinkled, most upset. Lai lifted September up suddenly and put her down in the first tub, which was really more like an oak barrel, the kind you store wine in, if you need to store rather a lot of wine, for it was enormous. September's head ducked immediately under the thick, bright, gold water. When she bobbed up, the smell of it wrapped her up like a warm scarf. The scent of fireplaces crackling and warm cinnamon and autumn leaves crunching underfoot. She smelled cider and a rainstorm coming. The gold water clung to her in streaks and clumps, and she laughed. It tasted like butterscotch. "This is the tub for washing your courage," Lai said, her voice as even and calm as ever, performing her task, grief packed away for the duration of a bath. "I didn't know one's courage needed washing," gasped September, as Lai poured a pitcher of water over her head. "Or that one needs to be naked for such a washing," she thought to herself. Lai poured a bucketful of golden water over September's head. "When you are born," the golem said softly, "your courage is new and clean. You are brave enough for anything, crawling off staircases, saying your first words without fearing that someone will think you are foolish, putting strange things in your mouth. But as you get older, your courage attracts gunk and crusty things and dirt and fear and knowing how bad things can get and what pain feels like. By the time you're half grown, your courage barely moves at all, so crunched up with living. So every once in a while, you have to scrub it up and get the works going or else you'll never be brave again. Unfortunately, there are not so many facilities in your world that provide the kind of services we do. So most people go around with grimy machinery, when all it would take is a bit of spit and polish to make them paladins once more. Bold knights and true." Lai broke off one of her deep blue fingers and dropped it into the tub. Immediately, a creamy froth bubbled up, clinging to September's skin and tickling. "Your finger!" she cried. "Don't fear, little one. It doesn't hurt. My mistress said, give of yourself and it will return to you as new as can be. And so my fingers do, when the bathers have gone." September looked inside herself to see if her courage was shining up. She didn't feel any different, besides the pleasure of a hot bath and clean skin. A little lighter, maybe, but she couldn't be sure. "Next tub," said Lai, and lifted her up, still covered with golden foam, out of the oak barrel and into a shallow, slopping bronze tub, the kind noble ladies in films used. September loved the movies, though they could not afford to go often. In her most private moments, September thought her mother was prettier than any of the girls on the screen. The water of the bronze tub gleamed icy green, redolent of mint and forest nights and sweet cakes, hot tea, and very cold starlight. "This is for washing your wishes, September," said Lai, breaking off another one of her fingers with a thick snap. "For the wishes of one's old life wither and shrivel like old leaves if they are not replaced with new wishes when the world changes. And the world always changes. Wishes get slimy and their colors fade and soon they're just mud, like all the rest of the mud, and not wishes at all, but regrets. The trouble is, not everyone can tell they ought to launder their wishes. Even when one finds oneself in fairyland and not at home at all, it is not always so easy to remember to catch the world and its changing, and change with it." Lai dropped in her finger, which did not foam this time but melted like butter in a pan over the surface of the green water. September sank under and held her breath, as she often did at home practicing for the swimming meet. "I used to wish my father would come home, and my mother would let me sleep with her, like when I was a baby. I used to wish I had a friend at school who would play games and read books with me, and then we would talk about what wonderful things had happened to the children in the books. But all that seems so far away now. Now I wish the Marquis would leave everyone alone, and that I could be a paladin, like Lai said, a bold knight and true, and that I will never cry when I am afraid, and that El really is part library, even if I know he probably isn't, and that my mother will not be angry with me when I get home. September's hair floated up above her head in drifting curls. Lai scrubbed her, even under the water, with a rough brush until her skin tingled. Abruptly, the soap golem lifted her up and dropped her into the next tub, a silver claw foot filled with creamy, hot milk. It smelled of vanilla and rum and maple syrup, just like Betsy Basilstock's cigarette. Lai stroked September's hair in the new bath and lifted several pitchers of it over her head. She broke off her thumb and swirled it 3 times through the bath, counterclockwise. All traffic travels Wittershins, September thought, giggling. The golem's thumb fizzed and sparkled, showering the surface with blue sparks. Lastly, Lai said, we must wash your luck. When souls queue up to be born, they all leap up at just the last moment, touching the lintel of the world for luck. Some jump high and can seize a great measure of luck. Some jump only a bit and snatch a few loose strands. Everyone managed to catch some. If one did not have at least a little luck, one would never survive childhood. But luck can be spent like money, and lost like a memory, and wasted like life. If you know how to look, you can examine the kneecaps of a human and tell how much luck they have left. No bath can replenish luck that has been spent on avoiding an early death by automobile accident or winning too many raffles in a row. No bath can restore luck lost through absent-mindedness and overconfidence, but luck withered by conservative, tired, riskless living can be plumped up again. After all, it was only a bit thirsty for something to do. Lai pushed September down into the milk again. She shut her eyes and sank into the warm cream, enjoying it and flexing her aching toes. She did not know whether her luck was even then growing more robust, but she found she did not much care. Baths are marvelous, whether or not, she thought, and fairy baths best of all. The soap golem pulled September at last from the luck bucket and began drying her with long, flat, stiff banana leaves baked brown by the sun. She tousled her clean, wet hair. When September was beginning to feel quite dry and happy, the Wurvereri ducked into the courtyard, shaking his scales with like an indignant cat. He tried to shake out his wings, but the chain stopped him short, and he winced. September's scepter jangled against the padlock. "Brr," he boomed. "I suppose I'm clean if it matters. Books don't judge one for being a touch well-traveled." The soap golem nodded. "And ready for the city to take you in." A little breeze returned September's clothes, crisp and clean and dry, scented lightly with a bit of water from the baths of courage and wishing and luck. She could not be sure, but she thought the breeze might have purred a little bit, rather like a leopard. "If you see her," said Lai softly, almost whispering, "my mistress, if you see her, tell her I am still her friend, and that there are ever so many more games to play." "I shall, Lai. I promise," said September, and reached up suddenly to hug the golem. Though she hadn't meant to, Lai slowly unfolded her soap arms around the child. But when September reached up to kiss the golem's brow, Lai drew back sharply before her lips could touch the word written there. "Careful," Lai said. "I'm fragile." "That's all right," said September suddenly, feeling the warm cinnamon courage of her bath bubble up inside her, fresh and bright. "I'm not." Thanks for listening. That one. was the girl who circumnavigated Fairyland in a ship of her own making by Catherine M. Valente. Very good.